Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday, in our study of 2 Timothy chapter 3, we were talking about the importance of a Christian building a strong foundation for his spiritual life. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
There was a recent study that found that many teenagers and young adults that are sleep texting. They keep a smartphone by the bed. They wake up in the night by a buzz. They text back in a semi-state. And it may start fine and then grow nonsensical. And many times they won't even know they did it the next day. Some say, well, we use it as an alarm to get up. Have you heard of a thing they had back in my day called an alarm clock? You see, sometimes people get carried up. I say have a central station in your kitchen and a hookup. If 8 hours of sleep is what a kid needs, that's the time to put it there. Let me also say you're welcome, because that'll do good if you'll follow that advice. We're told, worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You see, they're deceived themselves. And they may be sincere and think they're right. They'll feel good and they'll feel religious and they'll think rightly so. What they're doing is they're building up their self-esteem. When what we need to do, according to Jude, verses 19 through 21, to build ourselves up on the most holy faith. Now, we're warned how to be in these days, and we are told how to build a foundation to build this spiritual house so it doesn't fall. Doctrine, manner of life, your purpose, live a life of purpose. Faith, live according to the word of God. Long-suffering, charity, patience, stay true, stay true, stay true. There's no other way. Now, it's interesting, I'm saying that to people if they're saved, if they know Jesus Christ, their personal Savior. And yet, my friend, we also need to understand that there may be people listening who aren't sure that if they died today, that they'd go to heaven. We talked today and over these last few weeks about commitment, the commitment of a Christian to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, to do his will, to build their life on doctrine. But you know, it's hard to commit yourself to Christ if you don't have Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross, and when he was dying there, he was dying for every sin that you or I ever have or we ever would commit. Realize this, that Jesus died nearly 2,000 years ago, so really he died before you and I were born, and we hadn't committed a sin yet. But he knew we would. And so he paid the penalty in full. He bore our sins, every one of our sins, in his own body on the tree. He felt the outpouring of the almighty wrath of God upon his human spirit for us, even during the time when he could have come down at any moment, but did not. He did that to pay the penalty in full for your sin and for mine. His body was buried. But 3 days later, he rose up physically, bodily, from the grave. And Revelation 1:18 says he has the keys of hell and of death. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. There are not many roads to heaven, my friend. Many of the things I've mentioned over the last couple of weeks has to do with how we live our Christian lives. We don't live a life and do certain things to get saved or to stay saved. We do it because we are saved. But you must be saved. See, when you get saved, according to Matthew, chapter 1, verse 21. You will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. We're saved from sin. When you're saved from sin, you're saved from sin's power, and you're saved from sin's penalty. One of the penalties is eternity in a lake of fire. Salvation saves us from that. But we also find that in Matthew 1:23, that he was Emmanuel, which means God with us. God is a spirit, John 4:23 and 24, and that very spirit of God left heaven, entered into Mary, and over the next 9 months was formed and was born without a human father, born without a sin nature. And he lived 33 and a half years, tried and tempted, but never sinned one time, not in word, not in deed, not in thought. He was a worthy sacrifice for our sins, for he had no sin. So Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Why? Because our sins demanded our death, our separation from God in the lake of fire. Do you realize that if you're listening to this broadcast, that when you were born headed to hell? Now, I do believe that if a person dies before they reach an accountable age, if a baby dies, I believe they go to heaven. We have the story of David that teaches that. But otherwise, person, when they're able to understand, if someone doesn't tell them they die without Christ, they'll go to hell. But hell will be worse for some than it is for others. And if you've had an opportunity to be saved and you pass it up, hell will be worse for you than it will be for others. My friend, our sin demanded a penalty. For the wages of sin is death, the Bible tells us in Romans 6:23. That's final, complete separation from God forever in the lake of fire. So the wages, what you've earned, what I've earned, is to go to hell forever. Never cease to exist, never escape, tormented day and night, forever and ever. No hope. And yet, the rest of Romans 6:23 says, but the gift, and not the wages, we don't earn it. All we earn is go to hell. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, we don't save ourselves. We don't get good enough to save ourselves. We come to Jesus. That's why Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, it was God's love. God first loved us. And so he offered that love to us while we were yet sinners, just like we are. We don't get good enough for him. Oh, no, just like we are. Christ died for us. We read in Romans 5:8 that, yes, he paid our penalty. But then we go on to Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, he is Lord, he is God, he is Jesus, he is our Savior. And believe in thine heart. When you believe in your heart, you're believing with your life. Believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You're putting faith that he actually paid the penalty for your sin and that he literally arose from the dead. You're trusting your entire eternity on that thing. And because you believe that, it's kind of like getting married, you know. You say, oh, I love this person. That person loves you. You believe that. You have to believe they love you, and you believe they love you and you love them, they must believe that you love them. And so you're willing to make the commitment of marriage. Well, that's what we're doing when we're come to Christ, believing that he died for us and rose from the dead. We're not doing a work. We're not doing anything to earn it, but we're entering that personal relationship through the blood of Jesus Christ. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, that is the righteousness of Christ, and that we're going to trust his righteousness for our acceptance into heaven. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, one day I was able to take that verse in Romans chapter 10 and apply my name there. For whosoever, I could say, for if Andy Bloom shall call upon the Lord, Andy Bloom shall be saved. And Andy Bloom was saved, and he is saved. My friend, God will save you. He'll save you. Are you willing to enter that relationship with him today? Let him come in as your Savior, as your God, and he'll save you. You say, how hard is that? Well, just like the wedding ceremony, it's not a work that you do. You don't do 25 push-ups. You don't climb a wall. Instead, you just, there in front of witnesses, you pray and you give your word, so to speak, before that preacher, before whoever performs the ceremony. You just give your word. They give theirs. You know, in a wedding, the husband always gives his word first, and Jesus says that if you come to him, he'll in no wise cast you out. He said he'd save. He's already given his word, but also in a wedding, it's not a marriage until they both give their word. And so now he's waiting for you. He's waiting for you. He'll be the husband. He'll be the head. You'll be the submitted one. You'll be the one that's giving your life to him. In return, he's giving you everlasting life. He's bringing you forgiveness of your sin. He's taking the power of sin from you. He'll do that if you'll come to him. Won't you receive him right now? His promise is, if you'd call upon him, he'd save you. If you're willing to trust him with your life, he'll save you. If you believe that he died on the cross for all your sin for all time, and that he was buried and rose from the dead literally, bodily, he ascended into heaven, and he, as God, is coming again. If you believe that, and you'll receive him, his promise is, and God doesn't lie, is that he'll save you. Will you pray this prayer right now, right where you are? Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I need forgiveness. Forgive me of my sins. I believe Jesus Christ shed his precious blood on the cross for all my sin, and that he died for me and was buried, and 3 days later he rose bodily from the grave. I right now invite Jesus Christ into my heart and my life as my Lord, as my God, as my Savior. Save me right now. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Now, my friend, if you just prayed that prayer and you meant it, would you write us and let us know? We'd like to hear from you. And the Bible does say in Romans 10:11 that whosoever believeth shall not be ashamed. And so don't be ashamed to proclaim him. Let me encourage you that if you don't live here in the Ocala area, but you live out somewhere else, to look and find a church that's independent, Fundamental Baptist. Many times it's in the yellow pages of a telephone book, or you can just look online and find it and find out if they're stand. Do they hold to our King James Bible? What kind of music they use and things like that. Find that out. If you find out it's a good church, then call there. Tell them the decision that you made and that you want to follow Christ. The second thing is, go to our website if you have access to that. Look there for our Building Blocks booklet, and you can just download it there, and you can read it and use it to learn how to grow in this new Christian life. Also, a local church fellowship will also show you how to be involved in your church. And so here are a couple things that are be a help for you in your new Christian life. Tell others about it, and tell others about the Lamp and Light broadcast. Why? Because that's how the lamp and light grows. And my friend, please allow the lamp of God's word to be the light that you follow today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ. Christ Jesus.